Randolph County and from us around, everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio Ransparta means WHCO.
Car folks on the go, it's 1230.
That's WHCO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know you're welcome on WHCO, Randolph County Radio.
From Rio Country, 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll-free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning. It is 9:27. I'm Jeff. This is The People Speak. Hope you're having a good day. Talking today with Paul Shemp. How are you doing this morning? Let's see. We'll get it here. There we go.
All right. Oh, yes. We got it with a vengeance there. I'm fine. It's great to be in with you. Always like coming in once a month to do The People Speak. So appreciate you having me on.
Not a problem at all. So we've got several things we can talk about today. I'll tell you what, before we jump into that, though, let's go ahead and get our break out of the way.
That sounds good. That'll give us more time to talk later on.
All right. We will come back. You're listening to The People Speak on Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. And welcome back. 9:32. You're listening to The People Speak. We're talking today with Paul Shemp here. And things going well, I hope, in the...
They are. I mean, we are getting a really positive response everywhere I go. It's just Illinois is a big state. There's a lot of ground to cover, and I am right now I'm pretty much the only serious candidate in the race who is not wealthy enough to self-fund my campaign. It'd be nice if I had $500,000 to just put in on my own. But that's not happening. My background, I think your listeners know, both my parents were public school teachers, and then I spent my adult life in the United States Marine Corps. So there's there's not going to be any $1 million check written by the, out of the Shemp Family Trust Fund to fund my campaign. So we're having to make up for that with a lot of good grassroots support and a lot of hard work. And we're getting a really positive response, and the issues that are on people's minds, I think, really favor me, my background, and what I've stood for. Because a lot of people are very concerned about the issue of parents' rights right now, and that is an issue that I've got a record on. Ever since I got elected to the Illinois State Senate back in 2016, and then was in Springfield starting in 2017. I was very vocal about the fact that the Illinois General Assembly should not be, should not be acting like a school board. It needs to be parents who are interacting with their school board who are making these decisions. It shouldn't be the Illinois General Assembly deciding on tuition. It shouldn't be the Illinois state government deciding on health and safety matters for our schools. That's why we have school boards. School boards are... they are accessible and accountable to parents, and we need to make sure that it's parents that have the ability to determine their kids' education, healthcare, and maturity into adulthood. So that is a huge issue that is on people's minds right now. I'm the governor candidate that has the track record on that, and we unveiled a Parents' Bill of Rights proposal back in June. So we're really, we have a lot of credibility on this issue, and this issue of parents' rights, truly, I think this is one of the issues that we win on in November of 2022, because, everybody, it's not just Republicans. It's the idea that parents, not the government, should determine their kids' education, health care, and maturity into adulthood. That's not a Republican issue. That's an American issue. That's an issue that I think unites us all. And that's something that we're going to be able to get a lot of crossover votes on.
Right, and that's going to be even more in the forefront with this latest move by the federal government to attempt to regulate or monitor local school boards at the federal level, which is, you know,
that's just ludicrous. And you know, for the listeners that don't understand what we're talking about, one of the school board associations, this is kind of a national group, complained to the U.S. Attorney General. Merrick Garland is the U.S. Attorney General. And he sent a letter saying that he was going to have the FBI start, you know, investigating parents that were actively opposing, the policies of their school boards.
Mm-hmm. I believe they were going to include that under the Patriot Act, weren't they?
Oh, it's amazing how how many laws there are to take away our freedoms at this point. But you know, it really, you know, that is one of the reasons why I think we have absolutely got to have some recognition in either our Illinois Constitution or the laws passed by our Illinois General Assembly, you know, that it should be parents that make this decision. You know, mm-hmm. We've kind of gotten out of balance, you know, over the last decade or so with the government has just really infringed on the prerogative of parents. Probably the maddest I ever got when I was in the Illinois General Assembly was during a debate to talk about a bill that was going to say that schools could give out contraceptives to 12-year-olds without even telling the parents. And this wasn't a case of them doing it on the basis of a court order or anything like that. It was just, you know, a policy change saying we're going to give that stuff out to 12-year-olds and we're not even going to bother telling parents. And my response on the Senate floor was, I said something along the lines of, you know, I've gotten used to ridiculously high taxes and incompetent government here in Illinois, but I will never accept or tolerate a government that is taking away my ability to raise my kids in accordance with my values in the manner that I see fit. You know, so if you want to have a governor candidate and then a governor that is going to prioritize this issue of making sure that it's parents, not the government, that have the ability to determine kids' education, healthcare, and maturity into adulthood, I'm the candidate for you. I'm the person that you should be supporting for Illinois governor, because this is one of my absolute priorities.
And I know there's a lot of parents and groups that have been getting together here lately to talk about the different issues that are out there in that.
Well, you know, I'm kind of a child of the 80s. I'm sure you are as well, Jeff. And I remember there used to be a comedian, and I think he's still alive, Yakov Smirnoff, you know.
Uh-huh.
But one of his big lines was, he was like, in Russia, you may say you not want to go to the party, but the party will come to you. You know, and it's, you know, I apologize for that really bad Russian Yakov Smirnoff impression there. But the deal is, so many people don't want to think about politics, and they, you know, they'd rather not, you know, they'd rather get on with their lives, raising their families, running their businesses, and they don't want to think about politics. But the unfortunate reality is, you know, even if you don't want to think about it and be involved, it's coming for you. You know, politics are coming for you. Our government is coming for you, because the decisions that our Illinois government has been making are determining, you know, that's infringing upon your ability to raise your kids in the manner you see fit. They're infringing upon your ability to hold whatever job you want at this point. Governor Pritzker acting completely unilaterally without any input from the Illinois General Assembly has been mandating vaccinations in Illinois. And that's something that I disagree with. And, you know, the media says, oh, well, 70% of the public supports vaccine mandates. One, I don't believe that. But two, even if they did, that is something that my response would be, I don't care. It is wrong to make people have to take this vaccine if they have, you know, health concerns about it, or if they have religious objections to it. That is something that, one, I disagree with. And then two, if you are going to go there, if you're going to try to go there, that needs to be done via the General Assembly, not via executive orders. So this is really something that, you know, I just vehemently disagree with Governor Pritzker on. I think he is needlessly dividing the state, and he's just flat out wrong on this. And I say that I say that as someone who is vaccinated myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm vaccinated. You know, I think the vaccine makes sense for adults. I encourage people to get vaccinated. But the bottom line is, we need to trust people to make the best decisions for themselves. You know, we trust people all the time. We trust people to, you know, we trust 12 average people to go in on a jury and make a decision about guilt or innocence and assess scientific evidence and witness testimony while they're doing that. You know, if we're gonna trust people to make decisions about guilt and innocence and liability in our court system,
mm-hmm.
why can't we trust them to make decisions about their own health? You know, our government, our system of laws, our society is based on the idea that we trust individuals, not the government.
Right. And these breakthrough cases that are so prominent now, I mean, it's just kind of evidence that the vaccine is going, you know, will help, but it's not going to stop it. I mean, it's not the end all.
Well, the vaccine, you know, the reason I encourage people to be vaccinated is I think it does. The idea is that the vaccine makes your symptoms much less severe,
right?
If you come down with it, and that's why I think the vaccine is a good idea. But what I am vehemently opposed to is taking away people's ability to make their own healthcare choices. I'm also very concerned with just how this is being used to really turn Americans against Americans. That, you know, the idea that it is somehow, you know, people who refuse to get vaccinated, that it's their fault, you know, mm-hmm. that COVID is still spreading. I think that is one, I don't know that that's accurate, but then two, you know, the rhetoric that just divides Americans against Americans is something that we have to move beyond. I mean, we have to have leaders that are going to unite our state and our country. And really, if you think about it, you know, the vaccine needs to stand on its own merits. You know, if you have to, you know, require people to do something, you can't convince them on the merits of the argument itself. That really means that you don't have a very strong argument.
Exactly. I'll tell you what, we got another break. Let's get that out of the way, and that will leave us the rest of the time then to talk.
Sounds good.
All right, we will come back. You're listening to The People Speak on Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. And welcome back. It's 9:49. Still got about 10 minutes left in the program today, talking with Paul Schimpf. And the progress or the procession, I guess, towards the 2022 elections continues.
Well, we've got a number of candidates in the Republican primary now for governor. And I think that's a good thing. I think that, you know, one, if you have a lot of Republican candidates running for governor, it sends a message to the people of Illinois that there's a lot of people who believe that J.B. Pritzker is beatable. And mm-hmm. that is an important message to get out, because, you know, we don't want people to just check out or give up or, you know, leave our state because they think that, you know, we're going to have another 4 years of J.B. Pritzker, because that's just not true. You know, I think J.B. Pritzker is definitely beatable. I think the people of Illinois have made up their mind about him, and they're not happy with him as our governor. The question is going to be, you know, whoever comes out of the Republican Party, you know, is that individual going to be able to survive a $100 million character assassination? Because that's what the Pritzker campaign will do. But it is a good thing that there's a lot of Republicans running for governor. I think it also, you know, say if you wind up with like five or six robust campaigns, a lot more people are going to get that message that J.B. Pritzker is a catastrophic failure and is not deserving of reelection. So, you know, the bottom line is, you know, everybody that's running in the Republican primary, we are all on the same team. The analogy I like to use is that this is like a high school basketball tryout where we're just seeing who's got the best skill set to be the starting point guard, you know, and then once that decision is made, we're back on the same team. So I am asking for people's votes based on my qualification and my ability to unite the Illinois Republican Party and then really, you know, draw a contrast with J.B. Pritzker and take the fight to him. So, you know, when I'm going around on the campaign trail, kind of really the two big points I make when I talk with Republican audiences is I say, first of all, look, you don't have to guess where I stand on any of the issues because I have a voting record. I was a state senator for 4 years, so you know that I'm supporter of a strong Second Amendment. You know that I'm pro-life. You know that I, you know, am opposed to tax increases. I voted against every single tax increase that went across my desk when I was a state senator. So you don't have to guess about where I stand. And, you know, one of the unfortunate hard lessons we've learned in Illinois as Republicans is that talk is cheap and you don't know where people are unless they have a voting record. I remember, you know, it was 8 years ago. It's hard to believe it was 8 years ago back in 2013 that I first got into politics. I was running for Illinois Attorney General at the time back in 2013. And there was another statewide candidate named Bruce who I was in the same room with Bruce when he said that he was pro-life and he was opposed to illegal immigration. And then once candidate Bruce became Governor Rauner, what did he do? He signed HB 40, which was the public taxpayer funded abortions in Illinois. And then he also signed Senate Bill 31, which was a bill that prevented law enforcement in Illinois from working with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. So those two actions were directly opposite to what he told people on the campaign trail. And, you know, I'm not bashing Governor Rauner. I worked hard to try to get him reelected. But the reality is talk is cheap and you don't know where people stand unless they've got a voting record. So that's one reason that I tell Republican voters they need to look at me. The other reason I tell them they should take a look at me is I am the only candidate that's either running for governor or thinking about running for governor who has prevailed over a Democrat in a tier one race where I was significantly outspent. And what I mean by a tier one race is a election that both parties think they can win, so they devote major resources to it. So in 2016, I was running for the Illinois Senate, the 58th district, and the Democrats thought they were going to pick that seat up. Dave Luchtefeld had retired. They recruited Sheila Simon, the former lieutenant governor, the daughter of the late U.S. senator. She was very well known, very well liked by me too. Mm-hmm. I consider Sheila a friend. But the point is, the Democrats outspent us by over $300,000 in that election, but yet I won that race by almost 22 points. And nobody else has that kind of record of electoral success. And the way that you win races by 22 points is you have to get crossover votes, and you get crossover votes by talking about the issues that unite us, not the issues that divide us. So that's one of the reasons I'm talking a lot about the Parents' Bill of Rights. That's one of the reasons that I talk about support for law enforcement, because I think that's an issue that unites us as well. You know, and then we're going to be unveiling some economic proposals here in the next month or so as well. Things that can bring Illinois together, and you talk about what you're for, not necessarily what you're against.
Right. That's one thing I, from my days back when I was running for office, someone said, well, you need to run some negative ads. I said, no. I said, what I need to do is tell people what I intend to do. My opponent's going to tell him whatever he wants, but I'm more concerned about them knowing what my intentions are, what my plans are, what I want to get accomplished.
Right. And I think you also have to be, I think the people of Illinois are wanting a candidate who is not just nothing but toxicity. You know, mm-hmm. If we want our politics to be less toxic, you know, we need to act less toxic. If you want, if you want a government that people can trust, you need to govern in a trustworthy manner. But you're not, I've been very hard on J.B. Pritzker because I think he, has been, a catastrophic failure as governor. He has needlessly divided our state. He's gotten the policy wrong. He's, really just done whatever the progressive special interest groups want him to do. But I haven't attacked him personally. You're not hearing the word tyrant come out of my mouth because, I've been to Iraq. I worked the Saddam trial. I have some experience dealing with an actual tyrant, and you don't unify the people of Illinois you know, by using those, you know, really inflammatory terms. I mean, J.B. Pritzker's record is bad enough that we can just talk about his record rather than engaging in name-calling.
Exactly, exactly. Like I said, when someone's got a record, things that, you know, are relative, you know, I mean, as you mentioned earlier, character assassination. I mean, that, I've never seen the point in that. Why destroy someone when actually, too, what you're using against them has nothing to do with what they're...
Right. So I like to talk about, you know, how things will be different when I'm your governor. You know, and one of the ways that things will be different is it's not going to be business as usual under the Capitol Dome. One of the things that I've said a lot during this campaign is I've said that the truth is not afraid of transparency, and a solution does not require silence. So this idea that we're passing bills that are negotiated behind closed doors, you know, at the last minute and then voted on late at night, that has to stop if the people of Illinois are going to trust their government. So one of the things that I will do differently from J.B. Pritzker is if there is a bill that is not passed in a transparent manner, it's going to get a veto from me whether or not I agree with the bill. I think the process is that important that if it's not passed in a transparent manner, I'm going to give it some transparency by I will veto it, and then we'll have the time to look and actually find out what's in it before it gets a final vote. Another thing that I will do differently from J.B. Pritzker is I'm going to rein in the administrative agencies in Illinois. The first thing that I will do as governor is I will tell, you know, my state superintendent of schools to pull back the culturally responsive teaching standards that the State Board of Education promulgated. We will pull those back and rewrite them so that they are not, you know, importing Marxism and socialism, you know, into the teacher qualification standards in Illinois. The governor can do a lot as far as getting the administrative agencies in Illinois back in their lane.
So it's just a lot of different things in a lot of different areas in that, but we've got, let's see, the primary will be coming up. What?
Well, the primary is not going to be until the end of June. So we will start circulating petitions after the holidays. You know, I think that's when people are really going to kind of get dialed in and start paying attention once petitions are circulated. But yeah, I mean, right now we're still a lot of ground to cover, a lot of people to meet, and we're trying to get organized. You know, if you want to find out more about my campaign or volunteer, please go to SCHIMF4Illinois.com. That's where you can sign up to volunteer.
All right. Well, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. Always enjoy talking with you.
All right. We look forward to talking to you again. For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We will talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.